Steve, thanks so much. Hi, guys. It's us. It's Real Life. It's Wendy Snyder. Welcome to the show. It's Friday, the day you've been dreaming about all week. It's finally become a reality.
This was a long week, wasn't it?
You know, I was just thinking the exact opposite.
That's how we roll.
This is like the fastest week I could ever remember.
Not for me. I don't know if it's because the month changed during the week, because happy March 1st.
Yeah.
Maybe that's it. Maybe the cold, freezing Arctic tundra in which we live.
It was a busy, busy news week.
A lot going on. There was no time to stop and breathe. You just had to take it all in. Just had to accept it.
No, I breathed.
Did you breathe?
I didn't breathe once this whole week.
Steve.
No, I totally did. Yeah, you know, priorities.
I have to say this, and I know you feel the same way because you hinted at it. You know how you work with somebody, you know somebody for a while, you think to yourself, I probably know almost everything about this person after a number of years build up. I kind of know the ins and outs of this person. Did you have any idea that our own Mary Vandeveld is a movie star until today?
No.
I had no idea.
And that's one of my favorite movies, Normal Life.
My face was not shown.
How did this...
Well, what did we see?
It was just a recording. I was a telephone operator. I just did. If you'd like to leave a message, you know, blah, that type of thing.
Was your name in the credits, Mary?
No, because I wasn't...
You didn't appear on TV.
I did not appear.
Had a speaking part, which is better.
Yeah, that should count.
I thought that if you just had a speaking part, you weren't on the credits. I was not on the credits, believe me. I bought the movie. I have it on VHS.
What's the movie again?
Normal Life. Ashley Judd.
Luke Perry.
Tony Fitzpatrick is in there. Yeah, John McNaughton did it.
It was really a good movie.
It is really good.
They did cut out a couple of my lines, though. I was kind of bummed about that. But I get like 75 cents a year, usually. You know,
Doesn't that feel nice when that check comes in? That's found money.
You know, whatever.
And conversely, I was in a movie, but just my face, and I didn't have a speaking part, and that was in Doubting Riley. Remember that movie? It was Project Greenlight.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah,
Pete Jones.
Yes, yes, yes.
I know Pete's a friend of mine.
He's a good guy.
I love him. Yes, I was there all day for a shoot. I guess I am credited as the smoking bartender, but I wasn't smoking.
It was just implied.
But there was a big family reunion for my family, and I had to be there all day, so I made Jimmy Mack take the boys and go far away for my family reunion, and I'm like, I'm going to be a movie star. I can't go. I got to be here all day.
Right.
For a split second, I'm in that movie.
Did you go to see it in theaters when it was playing in theaters?
No.
You didn't see it?
No. I mean, I saw it, not in theaters, though. I saw the
video version. Of course, that features Hal Stanger, the famous Chicago actor.
That's his work,
right? Father Hal was in that movie.
He was? He wasn't there the day of my shoot.
Not in the bar?
I don't think so.
No, he was the pastor. This is the one, the Pete Jones one, the first one, right? The first Project Greenlight?
Oh, right. This was the second movie he did, Doubting Riley.
The first one was with Bonnie Hunt and Kevin Pollak.
Right, that's what I'm thinking
right.
of.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I was in the second one.
Something about a summer, right? I don't remember the full title.
Stolen Summer.
Stolen Summer, that sounds right. Yeah.
I loved that Project Greenlight. We all can't... Wait, first, Bertrand, were you in any movies?
Remember Steve McQueen, I think his last movie, The Hunter, was filmed partly in Mantino.
And you were in there?
No, but I tried. There was an open call for extras, but I do have a cousin...
Your cousin saw it or was in it?
Let's watch again. So Steve McQueen's getting out of a small airplane and my cousin hands him a baby.
Was that part of the script or was that just something that happened?
He just walked up.
Because I think the whole thing was the Steve McQueen character was getting married or was breaking up with his girlfriend or something. So he's like, what am I doing with this baby in my hand?
Oh, that's interesting.
It was Jared Woodrow, I think it was.
And how did everybody perceive your cousin differently after he was in a movie?
No, it was pretty quick, I think. Oh. Yeah.
My cousin was in Breaking Away.
Was he?
Yeah.
What was he in Breaking Away?
Look at all these cousins. He was a bike rider. But anyway.
I can go above and beyond that. Our own Bill Leff in Major League and Major League 2.
Yeah, but that what, you know.
You had singing line and visual and in the credits.
You've been in a lot of movies.
And my name is, they say my name in the movie.
That is the highlight.
That's the thing that my parents took away. That was the thing that made them the proudest, was that a character was named after me. Not the character I played, but one of the ball players was named Billy Leff. And they thought that was better. And then I had to remind them that I was also in the movie, and they didn't remember that part.
Aw, Billy Leff.
I have to watch that movie now that I know you're in it again.
Oh, yeah. You're great. I didn't know you could sing.
Well, I proved that I couldn't, but thank you. That's very, very nice of you.
You're in the magic door. Boy, you're just...
Yeah, I'm multimedia.
Although he was in the magic door when it wasn't so magic anymore. I'm sorry.
The less the magic door, right. That's what it was called.
The teenage years.
I think it was the used to be magic door.
Did you sing on that?
I didn't sing that song, but I did sing some song.
Did you dance?
I don't remember dancing.
Did you wear tights?
No.
How old were you then?
21 and 22.
See, that's something I wouldn't brag about.
I should change that part of it, right?
Yeah.
Why?
Because I didn't even know it was... When I was... Bill and I are pretty much the same age, and you too, Bertrand. I know I'm 6 months older than you, Bill, but Bertrand's older than me. Mm-hmm. I used to watch it when I was a kid, but when I was 21 years old, there's no way on earth I'd watch that. I didn't even know it was still on.
It wasn't meant for... When I was in it, it wasn't meant for people my age. It was still meant for kids.
You'd be paid to be on it when you were 21.
Yeah, they paid me to be on it and stuff. You know what was funny was the guy who directed it was a guy named Richard Burnell, and he also directed the news at Channel 2. This is just something they made him do. He didn't want to do it. He just did it. And when he felt it was time to stop, we stopped. Like, whether or not we had all the shots or whatever, when he was done with it,
really?
He was done with it. Yeah, he didn't want any more.
He had to get over to Bill and Walter?
Yes. Yeah, he was he was honestly directing them, so he'd come over and he would do our little puppet show, literally, and then... You know, he would just go, okay, we've had enough of this. And then we never saw him again. And I respected him for that.
Yeah.
I said, I wish I could do that. That's the smartest guy here, by far.
You need to be in more movies.
Oh. You know when you're a kid and you dream, wouldn't it be nice to one day be in a movie? And then the first time I saw myself in Major League, all I could think was, my head is two stories big right now. Because it is. You're watching it on a screen that's two stories tall.
Yeah.
And most of us are not prepared to see your head that big, because that's all...
would be weird.
I couldn't think of anything else, just that my head is the size of an apartment building right now.
It wasn't in HD back then, either.
No.
Because that's
luckily.
What... Yeah, I mean, I'm
thankfully.
Telling you, I think we could be seeing your nose hair and all
yeah.
that.
And it wasn't in 3D, so I kind of got a little easy on that. It could have been a mess.
You
right?
should rewatch it though, Bertrand, and look. You'll see Bill. You'll know. You'll recognize one and two. Correct.
I'm in the first two. Didn't do the third one, Wendy.
Why is that?
Well, I found the script a little unbelievable, and also they didn't ask me to be in it.
Well,
there's a combination of those two things. All right, we'll take a break, and then what a show we have today. Stick around. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
Hey, you know, Quip was designed to make brushing your teeth much more simple, affordable, and even more enjoyable. Quip has sensitive sonic vibrations. I witnessed that last night and this morning, gentle enough on your sensitive gums. People brush way too hard, and some of those electric toothbrushes out there are just way too abrasive.
Quip has a built-in two-minute timer that pulses every 30 seconds, and that reminds you when you need to switch sides, helping guide you for a full and even clean. Brush heads are just automatically delivered on a dentist-recommended schedule. That's every 3 months for just $5.
I got mine automatically. It arrived. 3 out of 4 of us use bristles that are old, worn out, and ineffective. So change them up. It's so easy to switch out the new brush heads, and we love our Quip. We really do. That's why they're backed by over 20,000 dental professionals.
Quip is low price. It starts at just $25, and if you go to getquip.com/Bill and Wendy right now, you're going to get your first refill pack absolutely free with a Quip electric toothbrush. Again, that's your first refill pack for free at getquip.com/Bill and Wendy.
Then come open the magic door with me. With your imagination, so much we can see.
Tiny had a cousin named Tina Tova.
Tina Tova.
Yep. Gilly,
come through the magic door with me.
Just say these words and wondrous things we'll see.
Follow the king, queen.
Here I come.
Did he live in an acorn?
Tiny Tova lived in a house that was made of acorn, yeah.
Why it wasn't made of acorn. It was acorn.
It was an acorn.
That's not a good house material.
Mary, did you watch this? I don't know if she's at her station right now. Bertrand, did you? Because I did. And I didn't know it was Jewish.
No, we've talked about this just recently because it was the only thing on.
Right, on Sunday morning.
Mornings. Animated before Cisco and the Poncho or Poncho and the Cisco Kid or whatever.
The Cisco Kid was on right after.
Burt Wyman TV Ford and all of that.
You didn't watch Mass for the Shut-Ins?
No, I wasn't up that early.
That's That's a good time. That's a full day of TV.
Think of that. Think of that title, Mass for the Shut-Ins.
I know, that's so terrible, but a lot of people watched it, and sometimes I did too, because there was nothing else on, and I couldn't sleep. But
or they had Jubilee Showcase.
Oh, yeah.
What's that?
It was the gospel singers.
Yeah. Remember that?
I don't remember
that. It's like
for
when the shut-ins had to get up and move, they'd turn it over to the Jubilee Showcase.
But they had to decide on a name, and somebody said, I think if we just say Mass for shut-ins, people will be happy with that. Right. Let's just call it that.
They did. I'm not being disrespectful.
That was the name of the show.
Okay, because that is really bad when I say that.
Why don't
that
we call it Mass for the Lazy? No, we can't call it that. That's upsetting. Let's call it Mass for the shut-ins.
No, these are people that couldn't get out. Either they didn't have a car, or they were in a wheelchair. It's not that they were lazy.
But I feel like even that term is offensive. Isn't that kind of offensive?
Well, but again, this is the theme of the month, is judging yesterday's words by today's standards.
Oh, yeah, I guess.
Because I feel like Jack Brickhouse would say, welcome to all you shut-ins who...
He did.
You know, didn't
yes, he?
Yeah.
Did. Yes, he did. So, do you know who I replaced on the Magic Door?
No.
I replaced...
Mandy Patinkin?
No. Wow, that would have been something. I replaced Dan Castellaneta.
Really?
Who people would know mostly as the voice of Homer Simpson. He's been in other things. But
oh,
he's
my God.
The voice of Homer Simpson. So this is what the producer said to us on our first day. Dan left the show and two other people left the show. So they added, even though three people left, they added four or five new cast members. I can't remember. So the producer was talking to me about replacing Dan Castellaneta. And she said he had just gotten a part on the Tracy Ullman show. And she said, he's off to seek his fame and fortune in Hollywood. Good luck, Dan. That guy will never make it out there.
Isn't that crazy? That was a great show, the Tracy Ullman show.
Totally.
That first lineup.
Oh, yeah.
It was good. Then, of course, The Simpsons were little excerpts that were within it.
90-second piece on the Tracy Ullman show every week.
And Dan Castellaneta sounded like Walter Matthau. That was intentional?
By design. He said his thing was, who's the perfect TV dad? I think it would be Walter Matthau. So he went for that voice. He was working at Second City at the time, and he was just a showstopper at Second City. He was so funny, and you knew something was going to happen for him. It was just too funny for something big not to happen. And that something was the Magic Door.
Does that bother you that your route didn't take the same way?
No, it's better. It's too predictable. What if everybody who got that job went on to fame and fortune? I don't want that. You got to mix it up a little bit.
Although,
surprise people.
I found a YouTube video, and they have kind of montaged the old with the new. And you looked very excited. I said, is this the time you were on?
One of the clips you showed me is some of the cast from when I did it, but I didn't see myself in that scene.
Who was that puppet?
The puppet's name was Mazel, the puppet, and we had to show a lot, like... They made us be very careful around Mazel the puppet. They were very insistent that we not do anything that could in any way harm
Mazel. Was she sensitive?
He.
He.
Was it a beaver or what was it?
It was a person.
Mazel was just muppety looking. It was a human, but very muppety looking. In the early days of the Magic Door, it was almost all puppets. There was one guy named Tiny Tove who kind of existed in a world filled with puppets, much like I do. And
boy,
and then he had a friend named Booby Beaver, who I don't think you can say that on TV today. But
I
back then you could say
Booby
that.
Booby Beaver.
Yeah,
he was
Tiny Toe's friend. They got in crazy misadventures together.
Yeah, that's the beaver I was thinking of.
Yep.
How come I don't remember? That's really bad, Bertrand.
What?
What was your question?
No, I said was he a was the puppet a beaver?
Yeah, I don't remember. But Beaver,
Booby
really?
Beaver, well, you know, it was a simpler time.
Well, you know, you're a kid growing up in Manteno and you hear Booby and Tove, you know, growing up in Deerfield where I live now, it would be obvious to me it was a Jewish show.
What's Booby?
Like grandmother?
Bubby.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Bubby.
I had no idea it was a Jewish show.
It was very subliminal. And yet you all had a bagel after it was over, didn't you?
The Lender's bagel right in the fridge, ready to
roll. Somehow. But Mom, I'm hungry for a bagel, and I have no idea why. Isn't that something?
Maybe. I just told you off the air that I wish I was Jewish because I like all the Jewish food, and you said you
can... I can get you in.
But maybe that's why, because I grew up watching this.
Yeah,
I love matzo ball soup. I like brisket. I like pastrami.
That's one step toward it, I guess. You know, that could help
you. Food.
Yeah.
Although you don't like that kind of food.
Yeah, it's okay. It's just okay. The other funny thing is they would get scripts submitted to the show.
That was scripted?
It's hard to believe, isn't it? That I did the show every week, and I would go, wait, people write this? I can't believe anyone's writing this. All right, so they would get a script, and when I was doing it, like I said, they shifted the idea from a guy who hung around with puppets to it being like, what problems are kids having, like a family who's divorcing, how would the kid handle that? Or you're moving to a new school, how would the kid handle that? It was that kind of stuff every week. So people would send in the scripts, and there was no Jewish content at all, but they had to have Jewish content for it to count, because at the time, I think it's still like this a little bit, you have to do a certain amount of religious programming to get your FCC license. So they wanted this show to take care of that. So to make the show more Jewish every week, they would just throw stuff in. Like if the lead character's name was Bobby, they would cross it out and they'd go, Bobby is now Shlomo. Like that. And we'd all just take it. All right. We'd write that in. Because in their eyes, oh, that made the shit. Now all of a sudden it's got religious content.
I told you I've watched the Goldbergs for years and didn't realize that was about a Jewish family.
You didn't?
I mean, I guess the name, but yeah. I didn't.
And the rabbi?
They don't show a lot of Jewish things. Oh. I mean, now that I know, I'm like,
yeah.
Duh.
Yeah.
But yeah. I had no idea.
And Jeff Garlin? No? Nothing?
I mean, I guess now I know that. I mean, she calls her, Bev Goldberg calls her group of friends Frentas.
Yeah, well, there's.
But that when I first started watching it, I didn't put. Right. I didn't see yarmulkes. I didn't see anything that would make me think they were Jewish, other than maybe the name.
Yeah, yeah. What about Off the Boat? What do you think's going on there?
I don't
Not
know.
Not sure. All right. Blackish, anything?
I am so into Blackish now.
It's every show now, isn't it?
Can I tell you, I've been watching the reruns of Blackish.
That is
a really funny show. I'm like a huge fan.
Yeah.
And that Rainbow is Diana Ross's daughter, the lead woman in that.
The mom on the show is Tracy Ellis Ross, who is Diana Ross's daughter.
That's a great show.
Yeah. And you know what they do that's nice is it's a comedy, but they're not afraid if something serious is going on.
Yeah.
They will tackle it and it becomes part of the chemistry of the show. And that's good.
Like a very special Blossom.
They'll do a very special Blossom. Yes, Steve. Yes. Didn't you know when you were a kid, if your favorite show was having a very special episode, it was going to be awful?
A very special James at 16.
Right. I remember that very special episode. Do you know what happened on that one?
He lost his virginity.
Yes, I remember that.
Yeah. Yes. His uncle bought him a Lady of the Evening for his birthday.
I felt sorry for James.
Well, I thought it was his social studies teacher.
No, I think it was
his
uncle.
No, it was his uncle.
Yeah.
It was my social studies teacher.
Yeah. Tom is on the line, and you remember some characters from The Magic Door, Tom?
Well, I remember one of the hosts, a guy by the name of Bobby Cook, who I think was the host that played the character. I think Bill mentioned him, Tiny
Tove.
Yeah. And I think he did it during the 70s. And I knew him when he, from his days, and he was a piano player and would play at a restaurant up in an Armitage in Halstead called Susie Wong's.
Was he doing that while he was on the show or separately?
I think that was separately. I think it may have been after he was on the show because, I mean, he would talk about his time on the show and as part of his repertoire would play the theme song and everything.
Did the crowd go wild?
Was it called what?
Did the crowd go wild when he played the theme
song? Oh,
did
yeah, they? All the
and
time.
They sang along.
Yeah, because,
I got to do more piano bars, Wendy.
Yeah.
Tom, thank you for reminiscing with us. Have a great weekend.
Yeah, I didn't know if anybody remembered Bobby Cook. He passed away, unfortunately. He was, I said, one of the victims of the early AIDS.
Yeah. Very sad.
Yeah.
Thank you, Tom.
Thanks, Tom. Have a good weekend.
Thank you.
Room zoom zoom. Gilly, 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 asasa, come through magic door with me.
Wow.
I don't remember the rest.
Something, something, all the beautiful things you'll see. I don't remember the lyrics. They used to ask me to not sing. Could you please not sing?
There's also a song for the mushroom use, I think.
True. Right, that played into it.
Right.
All right, we must take a break. We've got news coming your way next, and then there's plenty more show. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. Steve, thanks so much. It's Bill F. It's Wendy Snyder. Later on in the show, we have come up with a game that will enable you to win a pair of tickets to the 5th Annual Chocolate, Wine, and Spirits Expo. I do want to remind everybody, because people have asked me about this, it's chocolate, comma, Wine and Spirits Expo. It's not chocolate wine, although they do make chocolate wine. It's pretty good.
They do?
Yeah, I've had it a few times. It's pretty good.
We have multi-pairs of tickets to give away. Fifth annual Chicago, or excuse me, Chocolate Wine and Spirits Expo in Chicago at Plumbers Hall, March 9th and 10th.
Yeah.
You can go to chocolatewineandspiritsexpo.com or wait for Bill's awesome game, because that's coming up about an hour from
11:30
now.
We'll play it. Right. It's called the, I don't want to put any pressure on the game, but it's called the Big, Huge, Giant, Super Celebrity Game, and that's all I can say right now. Okay. You and I and Tom, who's filling in for Jasmine, played a couple of sample rounds earlier.
God, is
enjoyable?
It fun?
You like it? Okay.
So good. Fun.
Should go good. Should go. All right. We have something to discuss, but before we do, just a little tail end of something we were discussing before. We were talking about the Magic Door that was on Chicago TV for, I think, 19 years, I think, wow. Which is hard to imagine, but it was on a long time, almost two decades.
Wow.
Yeah. All right. So you and I started talking about another show, because you said... We're getting texts from people who watched it, I was going to say religiously, that would make sense, because it was kind of a religious show, but who they all say the same thing. I watched it every week.
And
why
no
did
idea.
I hate it? I didn't
it
like
that
show.
It wasn't
that
good, but there wasn't much on.
Didn't like it, really. No.
Right. I was on but it, again, I didn't like it, Steve.
I don't remember, and by the time you were on it, I was way beyond
yeah.
it.
Yeah. I would worry about you if you were still watching it by the time I was on it. All right. So then we said that for some reason Sundays became a dump-off. Like, all the good stuff was on Saturdays, but by the time you got to Sunday, whoever was programming kids' TV was just throwing on anything, right? And one of the shows that came up was Davy and Goliath. And we've talked about Davy and Goliath before. It was paid for by the Church of the Latter-day Saints. Mm-hmm. It was a man named Art Clokey, who is best known for his work with Gumby and Pokey. Right? Pokey Clokey. Who lived in Skokie for a while. Wendy, did you know that about Pokey Clokey?
Okie dokie, move
Okey-dokey.
On.
Okie dokie. All right. So if you're a fan of those shows, you'll
notice...
I love
Davy and Goliath. That I love.
I have to admit, I did too. But when you think about what was going on, it was silly, right? Now, Steve, stay close because you fit into this. On Davy and Goliath, it was a boy, Davy, who palled around with his dog, who talked, but only Davy could hear him talk.
And you didn't like dogs even because of that show. I would have thought that
not because of it, but just in spite of. I mean, uh-oh.
We're getting invaded.
Cylon warriors from Battlestar Galactica have come into the studio.
Beedy, beedy, beedy.
What happened? All right, so it's Davy and his dog Goliath. Now, I said to you, Goliath, the voice of that dog who used to say things like, "What's the matter, Davy?"
That's really all he said.
That's pretty much all he said. Was voiced by an actor who's pretty famous. Do you know who it is? You didn't know. Steve, do you know?
Dan Castellaneta.
It is not Dan Castellaneta.
I look at your pictures. I don't think I ever saw this show.
You never saw Magic Door?
No.
Davy and Goliath, you never saw it?
No.
No? That's strange. Mary, are you still listening, or have you gone on to bigger and better things? Mary's gone. Okay. So on the show, now I can't really talk to you about this, Steve, since you've never seen the show, so it wouldn't mean anything to you. But that talking dog was voiced by a guy named Hal Smith, and that's a name that you might not know until I tell you he was Otis in Mayberry. He was the guy that was always drunk in Mayberry.
I didn't know that at all. When you said that name, it didn't even ring a bell at all.
Yeah. He also played the Cartoon King on a very special episode of the Brady Bunch, where Bobby was on TV and had to try it. He was in a contest to see who could eat the most ice cream.
Are you done?
I'm done now, yeah.
So, right, because Sundays, that was all the equal time. Not equal time, but you had to put religious programming on it. That
you
doesn't exist
to
anymore.
To get
we
the
have
FCC
the Lutheran
license.
Hour.
We still have it. But
it's not an hour.
No, it's the Lutheran half-hour hour.
Has anybody told
hour.
Anybody that? Bill, you pointed that out to me.
I did. The Lutheran hour on WGN Radio is 30 minutes, which... You know, if 60 Minutes started saying, "Oh, by the way, we're going to do a half a show," people would go. Hey,
if your first 30 are that good,
right? Right.
But remember Powerline on WLS Radio?
Yes.
No,
that was a Sunday night show, and that was a religious show. I mean, there was some. It was brought to you by some ministry.
You had to do X amount of hours for the FCC to say that your station is in the good of the community.
You're on the power. Remember the song?
Oh, I do remember the song. I don't remember ever
you
really
remember
listening
that?
To that.
Do you remember the prize movie with Ione?
Yeah. I interviewed Ione once.
I don't remember why. Ione is Ione? It wasn't...
Yeah.
It was spelled I-O-N-E. N-E. Yeah, the prize movie with Ione. They would show you a movie, usually with Edward G. Robinson. I don't know why, but he was it. Like, they would put it, even if it wasn't in the movie originally, they would insert him digitally into the movie, Edward G. Robinson. And then she would come on, and she'd call people at random, and if you could tell what movie they were showing, and that Edward G. Robinson was in it, you'd win a prize.
And didn't she have a really fancy, like, bathroom phone or something?
Yeah, very nice phone. Yep.
I vaguely remember that.
When was that on? Like 9 o'clock in the morning or something?
It was on pretty early. Yeah, it might have been 9, Steve. Somewhere in there.
Since we're doing this, and of course the great Mike Rapchak, who...
I don't know who that is.
Best voice in the history of radio.
And he would do overnights, weekends here, do big band music, but then he was the voice of the 3:30 movie.
Yeah.
Coming up on Beach Blanket Bingo.
Wasn't he great? Was he good? Was he good? All right. Here's the reason that we've asked you all to convene. There's a story.
We've lost a bunch of people.
I'm not even listening anymore, Wendy. I'll be honest with you. This is a story out of Ottawa, Canada. Tom, our producer, Tom is filling in today for Jasmine.
And he's very proud of his Canadian heritage.
Very proud.
Yeah.
You're Canadian, Tom?
No.
Just go along with it, Wendy. No.
He found this story about a grocery store in an area of Ottawa, Kingston in Canada. And they closed up shop for the night. The store said, all right, it's closing time. They played the song, and they closed, right? But they didn't lock their doors.
So intentionally?
No, they just forgot. Maybe the guy whose job it was went through the back instead of the front. He just forgot to lock up. People come to the store as the night goes on, and they notice that the door is open. So they go and they do their grocery shopping. But then, the part that doesn't make sense, because we don't live in Canada, we live in the United States, they left the amounts of money that was due. Like, they calculated what all right, the milk costs this, the cheese costs this, the bread costs this, I owe them $14.85. So they left little stacks of the money by the cash register.
That's like that Amazon store where you purchase something, although you don't leave money
there. It does it automatically, yeah. They're
tracking you automatically. Do you think...
And everyone's afraid of socialism.
Right. Right. Do you think that this could work in the United States? If
not in
Mariano's
Chicago.
Forgot to lock up and people walk by and they just... You know how you try the... Is this door open or closed? I'll try the door. Oh, it must be open. The door's opening up. Do you think that here in the U.S. that would play?
No.
And people would go...
Not in Chicago. Look at when the Bulls won, what happened.
I know.
I still don't understand that. I know it was an exciting moment, but that doesn't mean you can take stuff.
My team won. Somebody owes me a stereo.
I was out in that night.
Were you really?
Oh, yeah.
Were you covering it, Steve?
Yeah, with Phil Rogers, who's what? He's at Channel 5 now?
Yeah.
He was working at a radio station, and he and I were in a car together. Driving around the west side.
Were you afraid the car was going to get tipped over? Because it was mayhem.
Well, at one point, we stopped and asked the cops, you know, which way to go. And they said, whatever you do, don't go that direction on Chicago Avenue.
Really?
So what direction did you go?
We had just come from that direction. And we looked at each other. I was on, just one more story, I'm sorry. But I was on a balcony over some bar on Rush Street or on Division Street. And it was me, Paul Meinke, mm-hmm. and Phil Rogers, and Paul's cameraman, and there was the only way to get off the balcony was climb through the window. So, you know what I mean? Like one of those windows?
Yeah.
Yeah, you go back in.
Right. So I was the one furthest from the window, and Meinke's on there, and they start doing a live shot from up there, and Phil and I are up there, you know, getting audio and stuff, and the crowd was just mobbed on Division Street. They turn and see Paul Meinke doing a live shot. They start throwing beer bottles at us.
God.
And I was the last one to get in. They literally pulled me through the window as beer bottles were breaking against the building.
This was after a Bulls championship.
There was one of the championships.
The first later on?
I think it might have been it was the first or the second one. By the third one, I was developing the flu on those nights.
You can't come in.
You're a smart man.
Right. Got something that
All right, so that being said, you think people would leave money? And here's another thing. Other than you, no one has cash. Bertrand, do you usually have cash on you? Because I certainly don't.
Never. Always have a credit card instead of cash.
I might have like $6 on me right now.
I'd eat a lot more Mexican food if I had cash, because we've got that. There's a restaurant in the basement here that only takes cash.
Really?
It's becoming a bigger and bigger thing.
No, it isn't.
Well, it's becoming a bigger thing that they don't take cash. Right.
That's just for you. That's the Bill Luff restaurant. You're the only one who has cash on you.
I remember a couple years ago, I think I've said this before, I think I have. When we go to Maine, there's a town near where we stay, Kennebunkport. It's the one that's famous because the Bush compound is there. All right. So in this town, there's an art gallery, a fantastic art gallery, And almost every time we've been in there, there's nobody running it. It's just, here are the paintings that we sell. Here's the prices that we sell them for. If you want one, here's the drawer where you leave the money.
No.
I've only seen people working in there once or twice in all the years I've been in that art gallery. It's the honor system, and the paintings are pretty expensive. You know, they're in the thousands.
You have a lot of paintings on your wall. You have one in the main office Seacoast. Now.
Do you like those paintings?
Yeah.
All right.
Well, how much were they?
Free. Buy one, get them all free. All right, we'll take a break. Do you think this could work in the United States if a store accidentally left their doors open? Would people be honorable enough to pay for their groceries? What do you think? We're at 312-981-7200. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. All right, we're telling you. It's Bill and Wendy. Hi, guys. We're telling you the story of what happened at a food store in Canada near Ottawa. It's the Kingston Food Basics store. The story reads like this. Shoppers walked into the downtown Kingston Food Basics store, but they weren't supposed to be there because the store was closed, but the front doors were accidentally unlocked. My first thought was, oh no, said District Manager Mark Woodwick. Customers came in, they looked around, they realized that they weren't supposed to be open, and then they exited the building and closed the doors behind them. The police were called in after someone witnessed customers inside, but no employees. Later in the day, a store manager arrived to find everything pretty much in place. Nobody took anything out of the store, said Woodwick, who manages four of the Kingston area stores. Woodwick said that some customers left money on the counter along with notes informing the manager of exactly what they took. Today, the store and police praised those customers for doing the right thing. It's rare anywhere. We're really impressed with our citizens that they're so honorable and honest so as to leave a bunch of money for groceries that they were taking.
I'm sure there was some alcohol missing. That was a
unpaid
note was
for
yeah.
It?
And I mean, unless I guess they have inventory going on, but wouldn't it be hard to figure out if something was missing?
I would assume, and I don't know that Canada is as camera filled as we are in the United States, but wouldn't you just assume going in, they're tracking me somehow. There's a camera somewhere that saw me walk in or they're gonna see me leave, I'm gonna have stuff. I can't just get away with free food. Somebody's gonna see this.
I don't even think of the cameras. I think I can't do that.
Right.
That's stealing.
Above
sorry,
and beyond
you're
all
like,
else.
There's a camera that's going to catch
me. How do I get away
me?
With this? There must be a way to get away with this. No, above and beyond all else, if you have some sort of code of honor to yourself, you wouldn't take advantage of that situation. There are plenty of people who would.
And if there's somebody who's, you know, like if I was a homeless person, I might go
might
in there and take advantage of it.
Because you need to.
Or someone who can't afford diapers for their baby.
Right.
I mean, they're
right.
Paycheck to paycheck, Bill.
It said that they took milk, they took tomatoes.
I know that wasn't you.
I'm guessing maple syrup. It is Canada. That's an. If you're going to go to the
bacon.
Store, you got to pick up Canadian bacon and some maple syrup and maybe a hockey jersey.
Is it just called bacon in Canada?
No, they still call it Canadian bacon.
All right, because it is more like ham.
Actually, the first time we were in Canada, I asked for Canadian bacon. I'll never forget the waitress going, "You mean bacon?" Yeah, all right. If that's what
I
you want to call
yeah.
it, we're in Canada. Now the good news.
Yeah?
A new Dr. Seuss book is coming out in September.
Now...
Isn't that great news? That's fantastic news.
When did
news.
Theodore Geisel die? It's been a while, hasn't it?
Yeah. Does it say here when he died?
So do they just find these manuscripts
yes.
somewhere? Is that what
yes.
happens?
It's truer than true. A posthumous Dr. Seuss book is going to be released to the public on September 28th. I'm sorry, in September. Here's the answer to your question. 28 years after his death.
91.
This according to Random House Children's Books, who made an announcement yesterday. According to the press release, the book is Creating and Experiencing Art. The book will be called Dr. Seuss's Horse Museum. It'll be released on September 3rd of this year with a first printing of 250,000 copies. The original manuscript was discovered in the home of the late author, whose real name, you pointed out, Theodore Seuss Geisel.
Oh, Seuss was his middle name?
Seuss was his middle name.
I didn't know that.
Yep. Along with the 2015 bestseller, What Pet Should I Get?
Oh, you should have gotten that book for yourself.
I would read that book. The book is about a friendly horse who takes a group of students on a tour of an art museum. Artists... Did you do that? That was very good. I looked behind me. I thought a horse was sneaking up on me. Artists and non-artists alike will appreciate the timeless theme in Dr. Seuss's Horse Museum, and there is no one right way to interpret the beauty that we encounter every day, according to the press release. Hmm. I think that this book... Those are the books that because we read them and loved them so much as kids, when you have kids of your own, it's like it's an automatic. You don't even think about it. You see them in a bookstore, you go, well, what kid would say no? How could you not like this?
But that's because we grew up with it. The one that Michael was born in 1999, and I guess this was one of the newer books, Oh, the Places You'll Go.
Yeah, I remember that
I didn't
one.
Know that as a kid. And I looked, it said it was published, originally published in 1990, so that makes sense.
So we missed out on that one.
But our kids didn't, because yours are a little older.
Right.
And I remember seeing that, Oh, the Places You'll Go, and it's basically you can do anything you put your mind to.
Yeah.
And I remember reading that to my pregnant belly and making Jimmy Mack read that to Michael. We didn't know it was Michael at the time. But he felt really weird. I'm like, just read.
Strangely, Wendy, I from time to time will read a book to my stomach, and I'm told that I'm wasting my time. It's bonding time.
Babies
don't take it away from me.
We did a lot of Bob Marley music.
Did you?
We did that in the delivery room too. And then I found out years later that the beat of a Bob Marley song is that at a resting heartbeat. It's the same. Dun, 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 dun. So it calmed me down a lot.
That's
I didn't
perfect.
Do any weed, but no. I did the music.
No.
I had the flavor ice.
But wasn't Michael
ice.
Born with dreadlocks, if I remember? I remember seeing yes. a picture of him.
Bright red bozo dreadlocks.
How about that? Who would have thought that?
But, Oh, the Places You'll Go, I never really knew. I mean, I kind of saw it and said, oh, let's get that to read to Michael. But I kind of was, I thought, again, I wasn't loved in my family and my mom didn't get me that particular book. But 1990 is when it was published.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
you didn't grow up with that.
No, I didn't. No, I heard of that one way, way, way later.
All right.
The ones that we got for our daughters were the one that were, you know,
One Fish,
the
Two Fish.
Yeah, Hop on Pop yeah. is good. Mulberry Street. To think, what was it called? To Think That I Saw It on Mulberry Street or something like that.
I didn't have that one.
Yeah,
Cat in the Hat.
Oh, definitely Cat
in the Hat. Cat in the Hat Returns.
Got it, but didn't enjoy it as much.
I guess
it was okay. He kind of ran the thing one and thing two into the ground a little bit for me.
Did you say One Fish, Two Fish?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Albert Finney ended up starring in. That brings it all full circle.
Yes. Yes, Steve. As a matter of fact, he did. All right. We must take a break. We'll talk to Alexander Zalbin from Decider.com. And then a game that will enable you to win some fantastic prizes. Tickets to the fifth annual Chocolate Wine and Spirits Expo in Chicago. That's all ahead. Coming up, the stories that matter with Steve Bertrand. Steve, thanks so much. Don't forget, in about a half an hour, your chance to win a pair of tickets to the fifth annual Chocolate, Wine and Spirits Expo in Chicago at Plumbers Hall. It takes place March the 9th and 10th. We're going to have three winners. You have a very decent chance of being a winner on a new game we're debuting called the Big, Huge, Giant, Super Celebrity Game. It'll be fun. It's a half an hour away.
I can't wait.
Alexander Zalbin is here right now. Alex, you're not eligible to win those tickets, and I feel very sorry for you.
I was going to ask. That sounds amazing.
Now you're part of the show. Sorry.
Excited to be here anyway.
What do you know about this, Alex? Oh, Alex, like I said, over at Decider.com, what do you know about this? We've talked about this in the past, that they're going to bring back The Sopranos in a prequel form. I just read that Ray Liotta has been added to the cast. Do you know that to be true?
Yeah, that's what I heard as well. Listen, they're fleshing out the cast at this point. I believe it's called The Many Saints of Newark. And the cast is really interesting. Beyond Ray Liotta, they're going to have, oh my gosh, I'm blanking on his name. John Bernthal is going to be in it, Billy Magnuson, Corey Stoll, Michael Gandolfini, who is the son of James Gandolfini, is going to play young Tony Soprano, which is very interesting.
That makes
and
sense.
And it's all the behind-the-scenes folks. So it should be really good, particularly if you're a fan of The Sopranos.
Is Michael known for anything else? Have we seen him in anything else, or is this kind of a debut for him?
I think this is pretty much a debut. He may have popped up here and there, but certainly this is going to be his biggest role to date.
I have in front of me a list of some of the actors that were on The Sopranos originally that have already signed on: Lorraine Bracco, Michael Imperioli, Frank Vincent, Tony Scirocco. That's your heavy hitters. They're doing well. They're getting almost everybody back.
Yeah, listen, everybody loved the show and everybody was into the show, and I think having David Chase behind the scenes again is going to bring everybody back. If they do it right, it's definitely going to be something very special.
Along the same lines, I've mentioned this to you in the past. Deadwood is one of my all-time favorite television shows. I can't imagine doing a Western better than Deadwood. When it stopped, they said, we'll eventually come back and we'll do either a continuation of the series or a movie. Now, on HBO the other day, I finally saw a trailer for what looks to just be a one-time movie. Boy, does it whet my appetite for that show.
Yeah, it's set 10 years after the series, but just like The Sopranos thing, everybody is coming back, whole cast is on board. Anybody who's followed that, and it sounds like you're a fan of it, knows that they've been talking about this for years at this point. So there are always plans to come back to it at some point. We don't have an exact premiere date at this point, but we know it's going to be on HBO in the spring.
The only thing I can't understand is Timothy Oliphant, who played the sheriff in the show, they show him in the scene, and he's speaking with a strange, almost like an accent. I know he's older, I understand that, but he's got a bizarre accent that he never had during the series. Do you know why he would have that?
I don't, actually, just because we don't know anything of the plot. Maybe he went somewhere, picked up an accent, and brought it on back.
He became a surfer for a while, and then he came back to Deadwood. It doesn't make sense. No, it's a very peculiar accent. I don't know what's doing that.
I like him a lot.
Oh, he's great.
Speaking of a remake, can I talk to you about this? Do you know about this?
The Banana Split?
If you could just see Bill's face right now, Alex. I read that they're Bingo, Flegel, Drooper, and Snorky. Bill is like a kid in a candy shop right
is
now.
Is that true? Are they redoing the Banana
Split?
But
it's going to be a little trippy. What's going to happen here?
So,
you'll be disappointed.
This is a weird one. This is the Banana Splits. It's the classic 1960s series. It's from, not Abe, it's our Puff and Stuff. It's from
Hanna-Barbera.
Thank you very much. Yeah, so they're bringing it back as a horror film. It's going to be on Sci-Fi, I believe. It's from Warner Brothers Home Entertainment, and it's set at the show that the Banana Splits are taping at, and I think some people start to die.
Wait, really?
Isn't that sad?
Yeah.
Bill loves the Banana Splits. In fact, when we talked to Ziggy Marley many, many years ago, we played the Banana Splits theme and then Buffalo Soldier. And Bill, you asked Ziggy if his dad ever smoked a big joint and watched the Banana Splits. And Ziggy Marley said, yeah, man, we had it on at the house. So we think Bob Marley stole from the Banana Splits.
Tra-la-la. Heavily influenced Bob Marley. Heavily. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah, I heard this news about it being kind of a horror thing. And
here's why this is upsetting to me. I couldn't wait for them to bring back Dark Shadows, and they made a movie with Dark Shadows with Johnny Depp. And instead of making it like the old show, they turned it into a comedy, and it ruined it. You know, and I don't want them to do that with the Banana Splits. Alex, make them stop.
All right, no problem. I'll get on the phone right
Tell
after
them
this.
To do it right or don't do it at all. I don't want to see the Real Housewives of the Banana Splits. I want to see the Banana Splits.
Don't you want to see who they married?
Kind of.
I totally do.
Yeah, kind of.
Alex, I have to give you full credit on Russian Doll. You told me that once you make it to episode 4, things may change. 100% changed. Love it. Is it coming back? When can I see more of it?
I'm so glad to hear that. We don't actually know. You know, without getting into these spoilers, it has a kind of open-ended but a relatively definitive ending in terms of the season. But they have talked about it. One of our writers, Brett Wright, wrote this up for Decider that they've talked about they do have some ideas if the show was to continue. And Netflix certainly has been very clear about labeling things limited series or not. And Russian Doll is labeled as a series. So potentially there'll be a season 2, but I think a lot of that depends on Leslie Headland and Natasha Lyonne getting together, having a strong idea, knowing what they want to do for season 2. So we'll have to see.
And what does Amy Poehler have to do with that show? I noticed her name in the credits.
She's one of the executive producers. She was working behind the scenes to bring Leslie Headland and Natasha Lyonne together and help put together the series and really help shepherd it and champion it. But mostly it's the two of them, Leslie and Natasha, who are the strong creative forces behind the scenes.
I was telling Bill that, you know, Natasha Lyonne, you know, I get a little sick of that sometimes, but she kind of grows. I figured out she is the female Columbo. She is the female Peter Falk.
Yes. Yes, she is.
Really is. Yeah. Hunched wow. over, kind of, oh, I don't know what to do. I
she
just
went to his
it.
Acting school.
I mean, she's channeling that. She also channels Andrew Dice Clay on the show
a little bit,
very specifically, which is great.
Yeah.
Great.
But she did study at Peter Falk's acting school. At Falk U. She went to...
All right.
She attended
I thought Andrew Dice went there, too.
Might have attended there. Are you in the mood to take a phone call or two, Alex? Is that good?
Yeah, absolutely.
Can all we right. take a quick break
oh,
first?
Oh, yeah, let's do that. Tim, stay on the line. We'll get to your call. It's a good question. Alexander Zeldin is here from Decider.com. Stick around. More ahead. Bill and Wendy, WGN. It's Bill Leffin. It's Wendy Snyder. Along with Alex Zeldin, we talk to Alexander every Friday about television, and that is now. We have a couple questions for you, Alex. Let's start out with Tim. Go ahead, Tim. You're talking to Alexander Zeldin.
Hey, Alex. How you doing? Hey,
I'm good.
Question.
How are you?
Okay. I watch Netflix. They release quite a few good shows. Ozark, Stranger Things, which is really great. 2 weeks ago, they released The Umbrella Academy. And it is one of the best shows I think they've ever released. It's fantastic. Are you familiar with it?
Umbrella Academy? Absolutely. Yeah, I really enjoyed the show. I think it gets better as it goes along.
Oh, yeah.
And if you are a fan of it, definitely go read the comics by Gerard Way and Gabriel Ba as well. They're fantastic and even trippier than the show.
What's the premise on it, Alex?
Sure. So the idea is that I believe it's 47 babies are all born at the same time, all with different superpowers, and a weird guy adopts 7 of them, turns them into a superhero fighting team. They break apart for reasons that we still don't know, and years later are brought back together when their former leader mysteriously dies. So it's sort of like an X-Men thing with a broken family. People have also compared it to Hill House a little bit.
Is it a true story?
Like that.
Phil.
Yes. Yeah, it's a documentary. It's mostly a documentary.
That. All right, Tim. Yeah. Tim, thanks for calling and suggesting that.
It sounds like my neighbors next door. Okay.
All right, have a good one.
Thanks. Yep.
All right, that's how I do it. And Better Things, my show that I love with Pamela Adlon, that actually debuted last night on FX. I forgot to tape it, but I'll watch it on FX now. But someone had texted that because I love that show, Better Things.
Yeah. We got some very sad news about Luke Perry yesterday, suffering a very, very harsh stroke, an awful stroke. He's been a regular on the show Riverdale, the very popular show Riverdale. What do we think is going to happen there?
Well, we don't know. It's really early at this point. As you mentioned, the news came out yesterday, though apparently it happened the day before. He had what is described as a massive stroke. He was taken to the hospital. There were a lot of conflicting reports. Some family members told people that he was in a medically induced coma. His rep said, no, he's just sedated at the current time. And we haven't really heard anything since. All of his Riverdale co-stars came out and gave him love and support almost simultaneously on Instagram and Twitter. His 90210 former co-stars also came out, and everybody's really supporting him. But right now, it's very much a matter with the family. It's very much a matter for him and how he is feeling and how he's doing. We don't have that information yet. They still, in terms of Riverdale, are going to be filming until about March, and he plays Archie Andrews' father on the show, Fred Andrews.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll have to see how much his part was going to play out through the end of the season, how they will adjust accordingly. I know they've filmed the majority of the season at this point, but certainly they will have to tweak and change things a little bit.
I wish him the best.
Yeah, we all do. Sure.
Someone wants to know, and I agree, is the Connors coming back? I noticed it just, I didn't know what happened to it. Has it been canceled? I've actually been enjoying it without Roseanne.
Yeah, no, it hasn't been canceled at all. I think that's one of those ones that we're probably not going to know about until network upfronts, which is when the networks show off their new schedules to advertisers. Those happen in May. So we'll definitely know about it by then. I fully expect that it'll be picked up. It did really well in the ratings by ABC standards. The only thing that's going to throw a little bit of a crank in there is there is this Disney-Fox merger that's coming up. So there's a lot of ifs going into the new season, both for ABC and Fox and any other networks they own. But I feel pretty confident about it coming back.
In the past, Alex, you have discussed the show The Masked Singer with Wendy and myself, and we're all baffled by its success. They just revealed the final celebrities on Masked Singer the other day. Donny Osmond was one, I remember.
They have really good people like that on it?
Yeah.
Donny Osmond, come on, he was my first crush.
Right, I know.
Does he need the money, really?
I don't know what I don't know. Go on, Alex.
Well, all I was going to say about that is one of the things that is so vastly unclear about The Masked Singer, even when you're watching the show, is why anybody is doing this. You know, they give reasons on the show, like they want to reinvent their career, they want to do something different. But I think there's other ways of reinventing your career other than dressing like a giant peacock and performing cover songs on stage. But it was so bizarre. The show, to its credit, did get better as it went on. The last couple of episodes were a little more focused, a little more fun. The panel seemed to have a sense of what they were doing, which was, again, very confusing in the first couple of episodes.
When you say sense of what they were doing, do you mean selling their souls to the devil? Is that what you're referring to?
Yes, yes, yes. Okay, of course, good. You could actually see them signing off stage in blood. It was very strange. But T-Pain won. He was dressed as a giant monster. And I think one of the nice things about it is he's known as the king of auto-tune. He has a great singing voice. So now people know that, and that was his goal, was to get it out there that he can actually sing. So
who was this?
We'll see what
T-Pain.
It means for his career.
Who's that?
Rapper.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm so unhip these days.
So there will definitely be a season two of this thing because it did so well in the ratings, right?
It was a huge hit, particularly by modern TV standards. There's definitely going to be a season two. One of our writers here, Kayla Cobb, did some great reporting. She talked to the producers, talked to some stars, got some information. So definitely go back to Cider and check it out. But they're definitely going to do some tweaks and changes for season two because it was a little bit of a mess of the first season. But again, like you said, it was a huge hit, and it's definitely coming back.
And you've told us, I got to remember where this started. This was a big hit overseas, right? They were doing this in other countries first?
Yeah, I believe it was South Korea, and it was called King of the Masked Singer.
Yeah.
And that's something they're going to look to a little bit because that show is much more focused. They have a much more focused competition structure than they do here. Mm-hmm. So they might try to split the difference a little bit for season two.
All right. I hope so. I can't wait. I wish it were today. All right. There's more calls for you, Alex. Go ahead, Wendy.
This is Chris on the line. Hey, Chris, what show did you want to ask Alex about?
I just want to know if Younger is coming back.
What is that?
It's a good show. That's all I know.
Oh.
It's been on quite a few times, but I haven't heard anything Younger coming back yet.
Alex, do you know about the show Younger?
I think it's on TV Land.
Yeah.
On TV Land? Yeah.
Yeah, Younger is on TV Land. It stars Sutton Foster. The concept of the show, at least initially, is she's a divorced 40-year-old mother. She pretends to be a 20-something so she can get a job. And it's kind of spun out from there. It's a very sweet, very funny series, and it is coming back. I don't have an exact date, but there should be a sixth season and more coming later on.
You got your wish, Chris. You got your wish.
Of course. Well, thank you very much.
Thank
you,
Chris.
You're very welcome.
Alex, what about Car 54? Where are you? Will that be coming back?
Bill, come on. Wally has a question.
It got picked up for 500 seasons. It's coming back soon.
Good.
All right, Wally. What's your question for Alexander Zalbin?
Good morning, Alex. My question is about Yellowstone, a miniseries with Kevin Costner.
I don't know anything about that.
I've heard of this.
Yeah. Yellowstone.
It aired on Parliament, which used to be Spike Lee channel, I think.
Oh.
And it's setting, setting is in Wyoming, a rancher. I'm sorry, Montana.
Yeah, it's... you know, listen, not a lot of people know how to find the Paramount Network necessarily, but this was a huge hit for the network. I believe they got about 2 million viewers, maybe more per episode, and it actually built over the course of its run. Like you said, it stars Kevin Costner, and it is coming back for a second season in 2019, though we don't have an exact date as of yet.
Excellent. Thank you for your call, Wally. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Wally.
And then really quickly, we just want to remind people, because we talked about this last week, on HBO, the premiere of Leaving Neverland, and that's Sunday, I believe, right, Alex? Is that right?
Yeah, it's Sunday at 8 p.m. on HBO. There's a second episode, 8 p.m. Monday on HBO, and they're actually following it up at 10 p.m. on Monday with a special called Oprah Winfrey Presents After Neverland. We're just going to talk to everybody about it. Do not miss this documentary.
That sounds great.
I have got to see it. As I've mentioned before, I think I'm one of the few people that doesn't think he did some of these things. And Oprah, I know, was a huge fan of Michael Jackson's, too, so I'm anxious to see her take. She will be talking to people that were on this documentary. Is that how that's going to work?
She's, I believe, going to be interviewing the two subjects because there are two people that have accused Michael Jackson of certain things. They are heavily featured in the two parts of the documentary, and she's going to be talking further to them after the doc airs.
Can't wait to see it.
I got to see it.
Alex, thanks so much for spending time with us. You can read more at Decider.com, where Alex is the managing editor. Have a great weekend.
Thanks, Alex.
You too. Thanks, guys.
All right. We will take a break. We'll get you some news. And then after the news, your chance to win a pair of tickets. We have three pairs for the 5th Annual Chocolate, Wine, and Spirits Expo right here in Chicago at Plumbers Hall on March 9th and 10th. We've put together a game, so start thinking now. Get your brains ready. It's coming up in just a little bit. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN.
Let's play. Let's do that.
It's time to play, Wendy.
It's Bill, it's Wendy, and we have a few pair of tickets to the 5th Annual Chocolate, Wine, and Spirits Expo in Chicago. It's happening March 9th and 10th at Plumbers Hall. Get tickets at chocolatewineandspiritsexpo.com or, Bill.
Yes.
Or what should
them,
they do?
Win them right now. It's the first episode of the Big, Huge, Giant, Super Celebrity Game. I'm going to explain the rules. We've never played the game before. What we need you to do is fill up the phone lines. We're at 312-981-7200. You can be a winner of one of those three pairs of tickets to the expo. I will explain the rules. At first, it's going to sound difficult, but I'm telling you, it's not difficult at all.
It's fun.
It's fun. That's what it is, Wendy. That's how I would describe this. It's fun. All right. Here are the rules to the Big, Huge, Giant, Super Celebrity Game. I'm going to give you a clue that is really a two-part clue. The first part of the clue has to do with one celebrity. The second part of the clue has to do with a second celebrity. But somehow, their names meld together. They gel together. And that's what you have to figure out. The person in the first clue and the person in the second clue, how their names will come together. I'm going to give you an example in
a little
bit.
All right, that'll be
helpful. I'll give you an example right now.
Yeah.
All right. Here's an example. Not only was I the quiet Beatle, I also played Indiana Jones and Han Solo. So who would that super celebrity be? Not only was I the quiet Beatle, I also played Indiana Jones and Han Solo.
Can I answer?
Go ahead, Wendy, yes.
So George Harrison was the quiet Beatle.
Yes, he was.
And Harrison Ford was Han Solo,
yes.
So it's George Harrison Ford.
George Harrison Ford would be our super celebrity, and you would win a pair of tickets to the Wine and Chocolate Expo.
All right, cool.
It's very easy. Now let me explain the scoring. You want to, of course, get the highest score you can possibly get. When you are chosen, if you get at random, we're just going to fill up the phone lines, 312-981-7200. If you're the first person and you get it, you get 1 point. You get to keep going until you miss one. You get the second one, you get another point. Third one, another point. If you don't get it, you're done. We'll tally up your score, and you're done. And then the next person, because that was a missed question, the question becomes worth 2 points, then 3 points, all the way up to 5 points. And again, if you get it right on the fifth, you get the 5 points, and you get to keep going.
All right, can I just, because I have to help you keep score because
yes.
You're the host with the most.
Oh, well, thank you.
The second round,
yes.
They get 2 points if they get the answer correctly. What if they get the next question? Is it two more
no,
points?
No, it reverts back to 1 point.
Tom, do you understand his reasoning? Because
yeah.
I don't really know what he's talking about.
Because the points are awarded based on how hard the question is. So if it's an easy one and you get it on the first one, you're only going to get 1 point. But if several people have cycled through it and not gotten it, obviously that's a tougher question. It should be worth 5 points. And if it goes beyond five, we'll throw the question out. We'll start over.
Okay.
All right?
All right. Shall we begin?
Wendy, let's play the Big, Huge, Giant, Super Celebrity Game.
All right. Let's meet our first contestant on line one. Hi, what's your name?
Name is James.
James, good luck. Have you ever played this game, the Big, Huge, Giant, Super Celebrity Game before, James?
No, it's just the first time it's ever been played.
We've never done it, so I'd be shocked if you had played it before.
Well, I think I'm going to take it to Parker Brothers. You don't mind, do you?
No, don't do that.
And you understand the rules.
Don't do that. I'm going to mention a clue that's really a two-part clue, James. It has to do with one celebrity and then another that are going to merge together to form one super celebrity. Here goes. It's worth 1 point, James. Good luck. Not only did I invent the incandescent light bulb, the phonograph, and the movie camera, I also played that girl.
Edison Marlowe Thomas?
Is that your final answer? Edison Marlowe Thomas?
Yes.
It is incorrect. Incorrect. James, thank you for playing.
Did Marlowe Thomas play that?
All right,
I'm not allowed to say anything else. By law, yeah, I cannot say anything else.
I would stop talking because you're going to help the next person,
yeah,
right?
Right. Oh,
all right, so
point.
James has no points, so he's out
James
of it.
James gets 0 points. He owes us a prize. He has to send us something, James. I know you can hear me. Send us a prize.
All right, bye, James. Thanks for playing. So that question is
now worth 2 points. I'll ask it again of our next contestant. Who is this next contestant?
Hello?
Hello?
What's your name?
Bob.
Bob, this question is now worth 2 points. It's the same question, but it's worth 2 points. Not only did I invent the incandescent light bulb, the phonograph, and the movie camera, I also played that girl. Who is the super celebrity?
Marlowe Thomas Edison.
Marlowe Thomas Edison is absolutely right, Bob. You have 2 points, and you get to continue. Nicely done.
That was really good. That stumped me. And all we right. have an echo here, so I'm going to be turning, you'll still be able to hear this, Bob, but we're turning it down for the listeners when you read the question.
Bob,
right?
So far you have 2 points. You get this one right, you're up to 3 points. Here goes. Tell us who the super celebrity is. Not only am I the current mayor of Chicago, I was also adopted by Alex Karras and his wife in a 1980s sitcom. Who is that super celebrity?
Rahm Emanuel Lewis
is absolutely right.
You are so good. So now he has 3 points, correct?
He's at 3 and a chance for a 4th point coming right now. Bob, you're doing great. Here goes. Question number 3. You're up to 3 points. This is for a 4th point. Not only do my 714 home runs rank 3rd all-time in baseball history, but I'm also currently the shortest member of the Supreme Court. Who is the super celebrity, Bob?
How many home runs?
I'm sorry?
How many home runs did you say?
Not only do my 714 home runs rank 3rd in all-time baseball history, I'm also currently the shortest member of the Supreme Court.
I know it's Hank Aaron.
I need an answer.
Hank Aaron.
It is not Hank Aaron. Nope.
All right, hang on, because you have Bob is on line 2. We're going to get confused.
Bob is our leader with 3 points. Is this another Bob?
No. You got that? He's on line 2? All right. Now we move to line 3 and find out who this is. Hi, what's your name?
Hi, this is Casey.
Casey, good luck on this. This is worth now 2 points.
Casey's at the bet.
Because, well done, Wendy. Wendy, I'm giving you a point for that. Casey, this question is now worth 2 points since Bob missed it. Not only do my 714 home runs rank 3rd all-time in baseball history, I'm also currently the shortest member of the Supreme Court. Who is that super celebrity?
How about Babe Ruth Bader Ginsburg?
Absolutely right. Ginsburg.
You
Casey,
are
so nice.
Good.
You have 2 points. This will tie you with Bob for our lead. Here goes. Not only did I play Gomez in the movie versions of the Addams Family, I've also won Emmy Awards for my work on Seinfeld, Veep, and The New Adventures of Old Christine. Who is that super celebrity, Casey?
I got this one. Not to put the pressure on.
Oh, I'm stuck.
Nobody? Not even a guess?
No, I can't.
Casey, you topped out at 2 points. You're still very much in the running for those tickets, so good luck.
All right, hang on. That's Casey on line 3. We move to line 4. And hi, who's this? Hello.
Tim?
Who is this?
Tim? Yes.
Tim, yeah. I will read you the question. The question is now worth 2 points. Not only did I play Gomez in the movie versions of the Addams Family, I've also won Emmy Awards for my work on Seinfeld, Veep, and The New Adventures of Old Christine. Who is that super celebrity, Tim?
Oh, I know the Christine one, but, Gomez. Oh, what's his name? Louis Juice Dreyfus is one of them.
I cannot confirm or deny that. I need a full answer.
I know. Who played Gomez? I want to say John Astin, but that was the original one.
Tim, right. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Thank you for playing,
though. All right.
Thank you.
The question is now worth 3 points.
All right. We move on to number 5 here. Hi, who is this? Hello? That would be you. Oh, you, no, he didn't know the answer.
You have to know their name, or there's no way you can win if you don't know your name.
All right. We're going to have to continue. Do you have all these people to call back? How are we doing this? Or did they? Okay, we do. So anybody on hold is a new caller, correct?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay. Should we take a break real quick and continue?
Give me one more quickly. I just want to see if we can finish this one off.
All right. Now hi, who's this?
Oh, this is Bob. I was already on.
All right, hang on a second.
He can't win twice, Wendy.
Yeah,
that would be wrong.
Hi, who's this?
This is Guy.
Hi, Guy.
Guy?
What's going on?
Guy, this question is worth 3 points. It's the same question I just asked, but it's now increased in value to 3 points. Not only did I play Gomez in the movie versions of The Addams Family, I've also won Emmy Awards for my work on Seinfeld, Veep, and The New Adventures of Old Christine. Who is that super celebrity guy?
That would be Raul Julia Louis-Dreyfus.
Raul Julia Louis-Dreyfus.
Yes, that is it.
Guy, you're now at 3 points, and you have a chance to take the lead right after this break. Sit tight. More of this on Bill and Wendy, WGN.
There's nothing better than starting your day with a smooth, close, and comfortable shave from Harry's Razors. You can join the 10 million who have tried Harry's. You'll get a five-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and travel cover, all for just $3 plus free shipping. Just use the code Bill and Wendy at Harry's.com. Here's the deal. Harry's bought a world-class blade factory in Germany. They've been making quality blades for over 95 years. They're sharp. They're awesome. Boy, do they work. They've received over 20,000 five-star reviews on Trustpilot and Google. All Harry's blades come with a 100% quality guarantee. Now, for a limited time only, Harry's has a special offer for listeners of our show. New customers get $5 off a trial set from Harry's with code Bill and Wendy at Harry's.com. This is what you'll get. A razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and travel cover, all for just $3, plus free shipping when you use code Bill and Wendy at Harry's.com. Go to Harry's.com today. Use that code Bill and Wendy at checkout to claim this offer. Let them know we sent you, won't you? It's Phil Leff. It's Wendy Snyder. And like to introduce to you the host of the show, ladies and gentlemen, Bill Leff. What's the name of the show?
It's the Big, Huge, Giant Super Celebrity Game, Wendy. The rules are simple. I will give you a clue that's really a two-part clue. The first part has to do with one celebrity, the second with another celebrity. You then have to merge those celebrities together to form one big, giant, huge super celebrity. Right now, Guy, who is tied for the lead with 3 points, is up for another question. If he gets this one right, he goes into a lead all by himself. Guy, are you ready?
Yes, sir.
All right, Guy, here goes. Good luck. Not only am I Winnie the Pooh's only human friend, I also made a name for myself as the host of Lifestyles of the Rich and Famous. Who is that super celebrity guy?
Oh, God.
Come on. You got the harder one.
Yeah, I know. The pressure.
There's a lot of pressure.
Let's go, Guy.
You can do this, Guy. What is your answer?
Oh, goodness sakes.
Time is up.
All right.
Guy, you're one of our leaders. He's on hold.
He's tied
got 3 points.
First right
tied
now.
With Bob with 3 points.
We have a new contestant. Lisa will be joining the group. Hi, Lisa.
Hi, Wendy. How are you?
Lisa, good luck. This question just became worth 2 points. It's the same question I just asked. Not only am I Winnie the Pooh's only human friend, I also made a name for myself as the host of Lifestyles, the Rich and Famous. Who would that be, Lisa?
That would be Christopher Robin Thicke.
No, it is not Christopher Robin Thicke. No, I'm sorry, Lisa. Thank you for playing our game. Oh, that's very upsetting.
I don't think she meant to say that.
I don't know if she did mean to say that.
But she said it.
I know.
So now we move on to our next contestant, Susan.
Susan, the question is now worth 3 points. This could be to your benefit. Not only am I Winnie the Pooh's only human friend, I also made a name for myself as the host of Lifestyles of the Rich and Famous. Who would that be, Susan?
Christopher Robin Leach.
Susan, you are now in a three-way tie for first place. Excellent. Excellent.
Isn't this silly? Don't you love it, Susan?
I love it. I do.
Susan, we go on to a second question. If you get this one right, you will have a total of 4 points, catapulting you into the lead. Here goes. Here's the question. Not only did I serve time in jail because of my perceived obscene stand-up comedy act in the 1960s, but my work with the E Street Band has earned me the nickname The Boss. Who is that super celebrity?
Oh, I can see his face.
Sound it out, because that helps you.
Bruce Springsteen. Lenny Bruce Springsteen.
Lenny Bruce Springsteen.
Susan, absolutely.
With less than a second to go on the clock, you have taken the lead. You now have 4 points. Guy is in second place with 3, tied with Bob, who also has 3. Here's a chance to buy yourself even more insurance, another point. This will give you 5 points if you get this. Good luck, Susan. Okay. Not only was I the lead prosecutor in the O.J. Simpson trial, but when I take my glasses off, I'm Superman.
Marsha Clark Kent.
Yes.
Oh, my God. That was so
Susan,
quick.
Record time. You now have 5 points. Here's a chance for 6 points. This would essentially double your second and third place challengers. Here goes, Susan. Good luck. Not only did Kanye West interrupt my MTV Video Award acceptance speech, but my paw is also the sheriff of Mayberry.
Your paw is Opie Taylor Swift.
Opie Taylor Swift.
Oh, my God. This is the most fun I've ever had with my clothes
you
on.
You were on. Wow. You were on an insane roll, Susan. You have 6 points. Let's see how far you can get. This will be worth 1 point. It will give you a total of 7 points. Good luck.
Okay.
Not only did I write and star in Hamilton on Broadway, but country music fans know me as the coal miner's daughter. Who is that super celebrity, Susan?
Oh, what is her name?
Time is ticking. We need an answer.
Oh, come on.
Susan, I hate to say it, but time has ended. You, however, have 6 points. You're in very good shape, so good luck the rest of the way, Susan. Well played.
All right.
Well played.
All right, hang on a second. Bill, this is where we make it up as we go along because we don't have a lot of time. Do we go to a new contestant or do a tiebreaker for the second place people?
No, second and third would secure. They're tied, so they're in good shape.
All right.
So we need to, pull in a new contestant, see if they can get this one. I know we're up on a time crunch. Let's see if we can get it done pretty quickly.
All right, Kevin is our last contestant. Kevin,
the question is now worth 2 points. Good luck. Not only did I write and star in Hamilton on Broadway, but country music fans know me as the coal miner's daughter. Who would that be?
Kevin.
Is it Juan Manuel Miranda Lambert?
No, I'm sorry. I cannot accept that.
No.
Thank you, though, for playing. We are now sadly out of time. Wendy, I think you know this one, don't you?
Loretta.
Not only did I write and star in Hamilton on Broadway, but country music fans know me as the coal miner's daughter. Who would that be, Wendy?
Loretta Lynn Manuel Miranda.
Absolutely right. That
My
is the
God,
correct
I want to do this every day, all day, for every show.
Here's our winners. You each get a pair of tickets to the 5th Annual Chocolate, Wine, and Spirits Expo in Chicago at Plumbers Hall, March 9th and 10th. You can get tickets at chocolatewineandspiritsexpo.com. Bob had 3 points. He was our first contestant. Guy matched him with 3 points. Susan, our big winner, with 6 points. Thanks, everybody, for playing. That was fun.
Oh, my God, I'm dying. That was so fun.
We'll do it again. I got a bunch more of these, so we'll do this again.
All right, yes. Coming up, the stories that matter with David Jennings from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom. It's all happening right here on WGN. And you can join us for the stream if you want, the stream of consciousness. It's a Friday version. Things get a little crazy around here. I can't believe how much fun that. I want to keep going. I'm that person that I will keep going till I'm completely burned out of something. It's called an addictive personality.
No, I know. That's what we have to pace ourselves.
Thank God you're here.
I got more of these. We'll do this again in the future. I promise.
All right. We'll come up and or come back and find out what's going on the Wintrust business lunch at 7:20. It's WGN. All right. Join us on the stream. You can hear us talk about what's hot, what's cold. Sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling. The 60-Minute Men. Today, the happiest state of the 50 to live in and the least happiest.
Oh.
Tune in to find
out.
I'm
going to say South Dakota and North Dakota.
Might be right.
All right. Steve is here. He's going to host the Wintrust Business Lunch.
Yeah, unfortunately, I'm not ready for the show because I was listening to that damn game.
Oh, my God. What's it called again, Bill?
Oh, well, hold on.
I love it.
The big, huge, giant super celebrity game.
I did get Loretta Lin-Manuel Noriega.
Did you get?
No, not Noriega.
Miranda.
I know. I did the same thing, Steve. I had to write it down so I wouldn't make a mistake like you just did.
When I hear those, I just picture Bill sitting at home at night, maybe in his footy pajamas.
Fireman pajamas.
Right.
Yep.
And coming up with different names and fitting them together.
It's fun.
What was the hardest one you couldn't make work?
I've got a couple that I'm still working on for next time we play it.
Well, listen, you can work on it tonight because tonight is an actual, it starts at sundown.
an unplugging day.
Oh.
So we're going to put our phones away.
Who is?
I'm going to do
it. I'm not doing it.
I think we need to do more of that.